Racine and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden says he's decided how the U.S. will respond to the drone attack in Jordan that killed three U.S. military people.
I don't think we need a wider war in the Middle East. That's not what I'm looking for.
Not looking for a wider war, he says, but he did blame Iran for backing militias behind the attack. A House committee pushing ahead today with a plan to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. Democrat Benny Thompson calls it a sham.
They don't want solutions. They want a political issue. And most of all, they want to please their disgraced former president.
CBS's Chris Van Cleave got a look at Alaska Airlines workers as they inspected 737 MAX 9 jets, just like the one that lost a door panel.
It's about a 12-hour process to inspect one of these door panels. First, you have to remove two rows of seats plus all the cabin interior just to get to the door panel.
Boeing says it will no longer pursue a safety review shortcut for its new MAX 7s. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democratic presidential candidate Dean Phillips wants the Wisconsin Supreme Court to order his name on the primary ballot in Wisconsin. Phillips wants a ruling by February 9th to be on the April 2nd ballot. There's concern artificial intelligence will undermine this year's elections. Rachel Ori is with the Bipartisan Policy Center. She says a robocall imitating President Biden urged people in New Hampshire not to vote in their recent primary.
Our bigger concern is what's known as a liar's dividend, that even when there are instances of generative AI being used to target voters with false information, they feed into this bigger risk that the presence of false information makes voters trust any information less.
Governor Evers and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss have both formed AI task forces. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. This isn't a discussion about actually building a train line. It's about allocating money to study the process of building a train line. Racine Transit Director Trevor Young spoke before our Racine City Council Committee last night, where federal grant money was allocated to study the creation of a Kenosha-Racine-Milwaukee train line.
To investigate what the opportunities are for passenger rail in the city of Racine, connected to downtown Kenosha, up to downtown Milwaukee, and of course connected to the metro region. Chicago.
The city of Racine got a $5 million grant from the feds to research the passenger rail service connecting the cities. The governor wasn't the only reason for all the squads at Gateway in Kenosha yesterday. The Kenosha County Sheriff's Department held their annual promotion and award ceremony at Gateway, recognizing various staff members for their service to the community. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on AM 1400, 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
The Bucks fall in Denver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lose 113-107 in Denver. 25 points and a triple-double for the Nuggets' Nikola Jokic. But new head coach Doc Rivers says the Bucks made him work for it as they try to improve their defense.
When he takes 25 shots, it means a couple things. Number one, he couldn't find guys the way he wanted to. And then number two, that means he had to force a lot of tough shots. That's what our defense has to be.
Giannis Antetokounmpo named the NBA's Eastern Conference Player of the Week. It's the second time this season and the 23rd time in his career. Baseball, the Brewers' new first baseman, Reese Hoskins, spoke to reporters about leaving the Phillies in free agency and why he thought the Brewers might offer him a contract.
Milwaukee was always a great paper fit. I've talked to a bunch of guys either on the team or that have played there in the past. It just fit even more so with, you know, the type of culture that they have and what I'm trying to accomplish.
That's Brewers' first baseman, Reese Hoskins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with a few flurries possible at times here throughout the day today. Another dreary one with a high of 38, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Gradual clearing tonight, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go.
This
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, taking your phones, engineering, and getting us through a lovely afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. It is Tuesday, January 30th, 2024, a Tuesday, 6 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. Mr. Zommers, we're in one of our t-shirts, one of our stations there, WIRI.
Wiscountry, yeah, and on the back of the shirt, if I spin around a little bit, can you see it, Todd?
We can see the chicken.
All right, yep, the microphone chicken.
The microphone chicken.
Has it been named yet?
Really? They're still searching for a name?
I was asking, has it? I don't know.
They were holding a contest. I never heard the results, so we'll see. But yeah, one of our great stations, WIRI. Across the Civic Media Radio Network, always fantastic to, to hear them. And then that's one station I have not been to yet. I have to check that off my list of the many we have been to across the Civic Media Radio Network. So
and the rest of them, I'm sure you'll hit them all along the way. We'll get more tours going.
We'll get there eventually. Yes. Have a nice evening last night.
Yeah, I played video games with my roommate who is not currently on a business trip.
Very good.
Cracked open a singular spotted cow because it felt right, you know. Every once in a while, it just
and absolutely fantastic. One of our great local breweries here in Wisconsin, New Glarus Brewing, down in beautiful New Glarus in Greene County, one of my favorite communities, and one of my favorite beers, by the way. You cannot beat a spotted cow.
I feel like nobody who likes beer dislikes spotted cow.
Right.
I don't know anybody. I have not met anybody.
I have not met an anti-spotted cow person.
Unless they just don't like beer.
Well, yes, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that either. Big show today coming up at the bottom of this hour. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, executive producer of Civic Media, stops by for a little Tuesday tangents with Luke. It was a busy week last night. So poor Lukester, kind of like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel, kept getting bumped. But we are not bumping him today. He will be here live and in person in the studios just under a half an hour at 12:30. So going to talk a little news with him and also going to talk a little Milwaukee Bucks. He's a big Bucks fan, our resident Bucks fan, outside of Mike Clemens, our sports reporter, probably our biggest Bucks fan, I would say, in the network. And he'll be here talking the change to Doc Rivers. A little bit bumpy. Bucks lost the first game under Doc Rivers last night.
Yeah, I think as far as him being the number one fan, besides maybe Mike Clemens, I think if you claimed it was anyone else or if anybody else claimed to be the number one fan, I think Luke would dispute them on that. Or he'd be like, yeah, sure, you're the number one fan.
And I should probably correct myself because Mike Clemens is a top-notch reporter.
Right.
And so he cannot be a fan when you're a reporter. So I misspoke there. I didn't mean to disparage Clemens anyway. He's a fantastic reporter. But I would, he'd probably be angry if he was called a fan. Because if you're a legit reporter, you really can't be a fan.
Well, publicly.
Publicly.
And this is public. So
I remember when I, the three seasons that I covered Pioneer basketball at UW Platteville and Bo Ryan was the coach, and we went to a couple of Final Fours. You have to kind of guard yourself, right? Because I was a little bit of a homer on the air, but I was careful to be a broadcaster. And it took me a couple of years, actually, after I got off the air of doing color commentary for Pioneer Sports, to go back to sitting in the stands and like yelling and really being a fan. Because you kind of have to control yourself when you're a broadcaster. Or you should. You should, most of the time. Anyway, Luke Mathers will be here at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. Also, we're going to take a look, probably an hour or two, at goofy things state legislators say in the state capitol. There's never a shortage. And coming up a little bit later, it's going to be a clip from Mr. Ron Tussler, the state representative, Republican from the 3rd District, up in the Fox Valley. So people listening on WISS, Oshkosh Air Support, and WGBW Green Bay might have particular interest in this clip. We'll talk about it in a little while. I wanted to start off, though, today by, well, we didn't really recognize yesterday that over the weekend, Derek Van Orden, the 3rd District Congressman, Republican from Western Wisconsin, announced he is seeking re-election. Not a surprise. And I thought we should give Mr. Van Orden the time that he deserves, and we've invited him on this program before, certainly willing to have him on and have a legitimate conversation with him. So far, we have not heard back. Also, this is a sidebar. This is a little promo for tomorrow, by the way. We're really hoping that former Governor Scott Walker may call in tomorrow. We've tweeted, because I don't want to get into this whole thing right now, but The MAGA right is losing their minds over Taylor Swift and the fact that she's going to be at the Super Bowl cheering on her boyfriend, Mr. Kelce, with the Kansas City Chiefs.
And wait, does that include Scott Walker? Is he also ragging on Taylor Swift?
He is not happy because there was a tweet, we're going to talk about this tomorrow, which says there's a new report, a new poll that claims, that hypothesizes, that a fifth of voters may be influenced by whomever Taylor Swift supports for president. And Scott Walker took that and retweeted it and said that means a fifth of the electorate is doing it wrong because they're listening to a celebrity. No mind, of course, that the Republicans elected a television celebrity to the White House.
So that's what it is now. It's a popularity contest for a lot of people.
So I just tweeted that back. And our friend Trevi Olson, who will be on the program tomorrow for the Lincoln Project, has a great thought. He has put together a clip from Taylor Swift from 2021, I believe. We're going to listen to it tomorrow, in which she says why she's standing up and taking a political stance on things. It is awesome. And it all ties in politically. And so I tweeted this back at Governor Walker and I said, look, legitimate invitation. Come on tomorrow or Wednesday at noon and discuss this with Trigvy and I. Look, the pack is out. So I'm rooting for the Chiefs. And Governor, all we want to know is why you got to be so mean. which we have not heard back from the governor yet, but we're hopeful. We're hopeful that maybe he will call in tomorrow. So
it was only 18 hours ago. Maybe he hasn't woken up yet.
But getting a lot of play on the socials right now. Anyway, that's not where I wanted to go. But this kind of ties in because, again, a lot of things on social media that people kind of, don't see. And one of the things that Derek Van Orden, the congressman, Republican from the 3rd, has been talking about ad nauseum is how much he backs the blue. And again, I've said on this program, I'll say it again, I have family who are in law enforcement, and I think the world of them and the job they do, from every indication I know, they have the deep respect of the communities in which they serve as being some of the finest law enforcement officers there are. And also, when I was on city council at Richland Center, I chaired the Public Safety Commission, which oversaw the police department. I'll stand corrected. I don't think I ever said no or voted down any requests for our police department, because they do a fine job there in Richland Center. So I am pro, backing the blue. Certainly there are cases, and again, I don't want to get into this, but there are cases where people have overstepped, and we've called that out too. But I don't think you have to have a flag and tell people you back the blue to do that. just do it quietly, right? But Mr. Van Orden has chosen to do that. In fact, he was in Iowa for the Iowa caucuses. He has apparently endorsed Donald Trump because he was there giving speeches for him. And this is what Mr. Van Orden said in Iowa just a couple of weeks ago.
President Trump backs the blue.
There you go. And you think, well, okay, nothing wrong with that, right? Except for the fact that Donald Trump has also recently called the January 6th insurrectionists, the people who have been arrested, charged, gone through the criminal court system, either pled or found guilty and sentenced and put into prison. Donald Trump has called those people, quote, hostages, unquote, meaning that they really should not be in jail, saying that the actions of January 6th were, you know, not a big deal, basically, that you know, it was just a peaceful little thing. So I want to, and Derek Van Orden announced he is running for re-election this weekend, and he, I have to give their team a lot of credit, in all honesty. They've got it down pat. Mm-hmm. They put him in a flannel shirt, in a baseball cap, in blue jeans, and he talks about agriculture, and he talks about Wisconsin, and, you know, he's just a good old boy, and he's just a sensible guy from Wisconsin who happens to be a veteran, a flag-waving, Wisconsin cheese-eating, beer-drinking Wisconsinite, good old boy. That is the image that Derek Van Orden likes to put out there, wants you to believe. What Derek Van Orden doesn't want you to know is that he supports someone for president. And in fact, Derek Van Orden was at, this isn't supposition, by the way. Derek Van Orden was at the United States Capitol at the insurrection on January 6th. He put it on his own Facebook page, bragged about it. He claims he never went inside the Capitol, but he was there, and he absolutely brags about it. And we're going to tell you a story about a Wisconsinite. This is not somebody far-fetched or whatever. This is the story of Riley Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who has pleaded guilty in the U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia to a felony offense of assaulting, resisting, or impeding certain officers or employees. By the way, I am reading from the press release of the Department of Justice, from the U.S. Attorney's Office, pardon me, District Attorney, or District of Columbia, U.S. Attorney's Office. This came from September 15th of last year. And my understanding is that sentencing has now been, or about to be completed on this guy from Wisconsin. According to court documents, on January 6, 2021, starting at approximately 1:50, Casper sprayed an aerosol container of what is believed to be pepper spray toward law enforcement officers attempting to secure the Capitol building and grounds. That day, Casper also communicated on social media with another individual, declaring, among other things, quote, "I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home." We're going to finish the story of January 6th, Mr. Riley. And why doesn't Derek Van Orden call this out? Why does he support people like this? Is that backing the blue? Not in my book. Stay tuned. More on the other side of this story. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff. So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed by 10. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 8 to 10 on 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, January 30th. Talking about this story of Riley Casper, 24, of Pulaski, Wisconsin, who has pled guilty to being part of the January 6th insurrection. And I want to read you the actual... This is the, I've got it right here, my hot little hands. This is from the U.S. United States District Court for the District of Columbia, USA versus Riley Casper defendant. This is the actual case, the legal document. I'm going to read this to you, the first page and a half, two pages here. And as I read it, I want you to think to yourself, does this sound like someone who is backing law enforcement, who backs the blue? And why would Donald Trump support someone like this, defend them, and call them a hostage? And why would Derek Van Orten support Trump and also, in essence, support this guy when he says he backs the blue? Going to pick it up here in the second sentence of this court document. The government requests that this court sentence Riley Casper to 41 months insurrection, 3 years of supervised release, and a special assessment of $100. In addition, the government recommends that Casper should be ordered to pay restitution the amount of $2,000. The defendant, Riley Casper, participated in the January 6, 2021 attack on the United States Capitol, a violent attack that forced an interruption of the certification of the 2020 Electoral College vote count, threatened the peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 presidential elections, injured more than 100 police officers. Repeat, injured more than 100 police officers, and resulted in more than $2.9 million in losses. On January 5th, 2021, Casper, a 25-year-old cell phone tower worker from Clintonville, Wisconsin, traveled to Washington, D.C. to protest the certification of the Electoral College vote by Congress on January 6th, 2021. 3 days later, Casper posted a photograph of Donald Trump to his Facebook account with its direction to, quote, take America back and be there. Washington, D.C., January 6, 2021 will be wild, unquote. On January 6, 2021, he attended the Stop the Steal rally near the ellipse of the United States Capitol. And then at approximately 12:55 p.m., Casper joined a crowd of people who had been amassed near the police line at the Peace Circle to the west of the Capitol building. He video recorded the rioters who pushed and broke down the barriers at the Peace Circle, and then when a friend responded to his video by stating, quote, that's nuts. You were right there when they pushed that fence back. LOL, unquote. LOL, of course, means laughing out loud. And I have to clean this up for radio. Casper responded with, quote, F yeah, bro. I didn't drive 14 hours for nothing, unquote. After rioters broke down the barriers and broke the police line, Casper advanced with the crowd and entered the restricted grounds of the Capitol. He was armed with chemical bear spray. I'm going to stop right here. Anybody in Wisconsin who lives in a rural area knows exactly what bear spray is. You use it to ward off a bear or wild animal. If you use it on a person, it can be deadly. Picking it back up, according to the attorney's office, at approximately 1:50 p.m., Casper held up the canister and deployed the bear spray towards United States Capitol Police and Metropolitan Police Department officers who were attempting to maintain a perimeter on the Lower West Terrace. Casper then moved closer to the officers and again deployed the bear spray at the officers, including Metropolitan Police Officer MV. Later, Casper eagerly bragged on social media, and here it is, in his own words, that he pled guilty to. This is the guy from Wisconsin that Trump and Congressman Derek Van Orten are defending. This guy bragged on social media, according to court documents, quote, "I pepper sprayed three cops so bad they got undressed and went home. Gently brazed many others several times. I basically organized my own little militia. And we effing took over Congress." The whole word is there, but of course I have to clean it up for radio. Casper also stated, quote, "I mean, the rest of the crowd gave support, but as you can see in that video, it was my group that busted the first gate and kept chasing the cops down and pushing them back into the Capitol," unquote. He told friends that he found, quote, "something satisfying about pepper spraying cops in riot gear and watching them run from you like a little bitch, even though they have face masks, billy clubs, and full effing body armor," unquote. After his arrest, Casper again boasted that he held a can of pepper spray, quote, "like an effing badass," unquote. For his conduct, the government recommends that the court sentence Casper to 41 months of incarceration, which is the midpoint of the advisory guidelines range between 37 and 46 months. A 41-month sentence reflects the gravity of Casper's actions, his assault on officers, and also takes into account his acceptance of responsibility. These are not the words of a Democrat. These are not the words of Biden. These are not the words of a liberal, progressive person. These are the words of law enforcement. These are the charges to which Mr. Riley from Wisconsin has pled guilty to. And this is the person, and many more like them, that Donald Trump has said he will pardon, he will put back on the streets, he calls them hostages. And this person that we just told you their story, and the hundreds of others like them, is what Derek Van Orten is defending. And yet he has the audacity to tell us in the 3rd Congressional District that he backs the blue. Nothing more offensive, in my opinion. This is the narrative we're going to hear, folks. We're going to hear that Derek Van Orten is this, just this homesy boy from Western Wisconsin that goes to Quick Trip and wears blue jeans and flannel. But don't be fooled. And we will be here from now until November in Amory and La Crosse and Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and Wausau and Wisconsin Rapids and Richland Center and all of our civic media stations. Those are just the ones that cover the 3rd District. But we'll be here telling you what really goes on with Derek Van Orten. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Take some calls. Also, Mr. Luke Mathers on the other side. A couple of tangents with him. Don't go anywhere. It's the Tyler Wall Show. We are live for Tuesday, January 30th on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers. They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are efforts to be influencers, I suppose. Yeah. I mean,
we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you midday on a Tuesday. We're seeing a lift in grain prices this morning. Cash soybeans even rising double digits. But strength in the soybean market is not attractive to importers. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing says U.S. importers are bringing in Brazilian beans because of their discounted prices.
Here's a combination of the situation that's causing this. First off, due to the dry weather, Brazilian bean harvest is ahead of schedule. They're about 9 to 11% done. So soybean premiums, in other words, what they are offering to the export market, are trading about $1.20 a bushel under the market right now. U.S. premiums for export markets about plus 70. So that's about a $2 a bushel difference. And so when the U.S. exporter, U.S. importers start looking at this availability of beans, it's cheaper to go down to Brazil, pick up those beans at that discount, put them on a boat, bring them up here.
Market advisor John Heinberg says while it wasn't a big purchase, it could become problematic if it becomes a pattern. Stick around for a look at our midday commodity prices up next.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If you're interested in a rewarding career with a strong Wisconsin company, Rural Mutual Insurance is looking to add to their growing team of successful employees and agents. Apply online today at ruralmutual.com/careers.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
The 35 Under 35 program is a great way to recognize young farmers and ag professionals for all the hard work that they do on sustainability. Through this program, I've really gotten to see a lot of different perspectives on how everybody defines sustainability differently. You're really going to have a great network of people to lean on in the future if you have any questions or any issues that may arise.
WFBF.com.
A voice for farmers.
A vision for agriculture.
Wisconsin Farm Bureau.
Tuesday from Chicago, cash corn is trading up 4 cents at 4.44 and a quarter. December new crop corn is up 3 and a quarter cents at 4.77 and three quarters. Cash soybeans are trading up 13.5 cents at 12.07 and three quarters. And November new crop beans are up 8 cents at 11.88 and a quarter. Cash wheat is trading up 4 and a quarter cents at 5.97 and three quarters, and July new crop wheat is up 3 and three quarter cents at 6.13 and a quarter. The only thing trading down midday on a Tuesday is the February Class 3 milk contract. That's down 2 cents at 16.44 a hundredweight. The March contract is trading up 14 cents at 17.20 a hundredweight. Don't forget that you can listen to more farm news, including the conversation with John Heinberg, at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on our podcast page. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refresh.
It is going to be cloudy and drizzly with a few flurries possible at times here throughout the day today. Another dreary one with a high of 38, the wind northwest at 5 to 15. Gradual clearing tonight, 32. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a bit warmer with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Well, to the Todd Lyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, January 30th, 2024. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board taking your phone calls. Always glad to say hello and put you on hold. We'll put you on the air ASAP. Always glad to have our friend, our mentor, our colleague, the great, the effervescent Luke Mathers, who's the executive producer of Civic Media. Tuesday Tangents with Luke. Luke, I said you were a little like Matt Damon on Jimmy Kimmel last week. You kept getting bumped, but God love you, you're here today.
Yeah, you know, you were just jam-packed full show, week of shows last week, and that's okay.
The president bumped you last week.
Yeah, on one of the days. That's okay. But yeah, you were you had a very busy week last week, Todd.
I did. It was all over. Well, Green Bay, Wausau, Superior, Hayward.
Yeah, and the previous Friday when we were filling in, we I don't know where you keep all of the thesaurus of adjectives that you do to introduce guests. And
Mr. Zommers and I were like,
we can't necessarily keep up with how many different descriptors Mr. Alba uses. So we had a fun time filling in, but, you know, glad to be with you here on a Tuesday afternoon.
Really appreciate you guys doing that. Did a great job, as
always.
We
didn't burn the place down.
No,
so it was great.
You did fantastic. Thanks for doing that. I greatly appreciate it. Yeah. You know, people like, you know, it's good to have a different voice now and again and have people get a different perspective. So
people didn't, you know, grab their pitchforks and torches and try to get me off the air for the
no,
2 hours that we
not.
Were filling in. So it was good. It was
not.
Good.
It's election season, Luke. I mean, it's been so for a while, but
has it stopped?
I know. You know, so this weekend, Derek Van Orten announced he is running for election in the 3rd Congressional District, Western Wisconsin. And as what you well know, we've got a lot of stations that cover that ground over there. Amongst them, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, Green Bay. Not really. Good Lord, Todd. I'm trying to do this off my head.
Okay.
La Crosse, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, Amory, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center. That's what I was trying to do there. And so we cover a lot of the 3rd District. And so, you know, Van Orten, he likes to pawn himself off as Mr. Flannel Shirt, baseball cap.
Likes to ride his Harley.
He likes to go to Quick Trips, all this. And that's fine. But the confusing part is we played this clip where he's very much a back the blue kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Except that We read this in detail description of this dude from Wisconsin, Riley Casper of Pulaski, who has pled guilty to these charges of January 6th. And in detail, and the money line, and I don't mean that in a good way, was this one. I'll read it again. Of course, we have to clean it up a little bit for radio. Quote, this is what this guy who has been pled guilty to the January 6th charges has said. Quote, there is something satisfying about pepper spraying cops in riot gear and watching them run from you like a bitch, even though they have face masks, billy clubs, and full effing body armor. Unquote. That to me does not sound like someone who's backing the blue. No. And yet, Derek Van Orten was in Iowa recently supporting Donald Trump, who has called people like this guy hostages, not insurrectionists. And I'm just confused and want your thoughts, your take on what's up with Derek Van Orten.
Well, I think it's important to point out that like that individual that was there and pleading guilty to those charges from their events around January 6th, Derek Van Orten was there as well.
Yes.
He was on the grounds of the Capitol that day. He has not gone into detail to describe it when asked by journalists about whether or not he went into the Capitol. We know that he was on the grounds, though. He took selfies. He posted them on social media. We know that Derek Van Orten was there at the events leading up to the Capitol, and he has not accounted for that time of whether or not he did go into that building. So that's still something that the voters of the 3rd CD and Wisconsinites as a whole don't know about this man that's running for a second term to Congress to represent Western Wisconsin in the House of Representatives. So I think there are some unanswered questions there for Derek Van Orten by himself. It's a very good indicator that some people can come out with platitudes and bumper stickers of we back the badge, we support the blue, all of the back the blue aspect. But when the rubber hits the road and you actually have to, you know, do things to support law enforcement, standing by individuals like this is not supporting law enforcement. It's not. Cops died that day defending democracy and defending the U.S. Capitol against those insurrectionists. And so it's really easy to say platitudes like backing the badge, but when your actions have shown differently, I think it's pretty hard to take those individuals at their word.
Agreed. 844-967-2789. If you'd like to ask Luke a question or weigh in on this topic, 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Stoughton and CJ. Listen, in Stoughton, CJ, we'll see you.
Thanks for taking the call, Todd. I guess I get so frustrated listening to how you could describe what Republicans believe. And thank you for allowing us to, you know, a few of us at times, sometimes be able to voice our opinion. You're better at most of the hosts. But, you know, I believe that, you know, these should be done on case-by-case-by basis. If you look at each case, and yes, criminals should be prosecuted. But I find it funny that the Democrat Party supported a candidate, Mandela Barnes, who campaigned on defund the police. Then he took it back.
All right, but CJ, I don't want to rehash someone who isn't in elective office. I think it's more important to talk about the leading Republican candidate for office right now, Donald Trump, who has said that he would pardon people like the guy. And I know you've been on the phone for a while. Appreciate you holding. You heard the entire story, and so I think we're in agreement, and I appreciate that. Are you in agreement that the individual that I just read this entire story that he has pled guilty to these charges? Do you agree that that guy should be stay his full term in prison and that he should not be pardoned? Can we at least agree on that?
Well, I don't know every instance of that case, because as we found out, the January 6th committee wouldn't allow all the video in, Todd.
That's not true. That's not true. Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney, Republicans, have said that's not true.
Republicans had to fight for it, just like they're having to fight to get the border secure. There's 300 terrorists on the watch list. The Border Patrol is saying that Biden's policies, even the FBI director Ray says the Biden policies are, there are alarms going off everywhere he looks.
All right, thanks, CJ. I gave you a chance. I want to get your opinion in. Appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling. To CJ's point, and I don't want to go down this road too far, Luke, but if we want to look at policies at the border, consider this. It's true, certain laws are not being enforced, but the caveat is this was true under every president, including Donald Trump. Take this, for instance. Take the detention mandate, okay? Congress ordered the Department of Homeland Security to detain everyone, but on the fiscal year 23 budget, they only funded 34,000 detention beds. So it's impossible to enforce. That's a great, I appreciate CJ bringing it up. It's another example of Republicans having a rhetoric, but not putting their money where their mouth is.
Right. It's another, I mean, it's on full display. When you see the Donald Trump as the, quote, for lack of a better term, presumptive Republican nominee at this point. Mm-hmm. It seems like he's going to have an insurmountable lead. I don't want to. There's plenty of Republican voters that are still yet to vote in the primary process, but it seems like actions that the Republican Party is trying to take to coalesce around Donald Trump is going to mean that he is the eventual nominee. And for Trump to come out and say, don't pass a compromise deal to address the border, which CJ says is so important. Democrats aren't the ones addressing the border, according to CJ. But really, we've heard from elected officials throughout, Republican elected officials throughout both the Senate and the House, saying, well, we can't do this now because Trump is telling us we can't. He wants to run on it, so we can't actually, you know, do the constitutional obligation that we have to try to find compromise and pass some form. It's not going to be a silver bullet, as you said. Right. No president has been able to solve this in 40, 50 years. Like, there is a sit-down that needs to happen, and it will be in increments.
Yeah.
But to say, oh, no, this is an existential crisis. There is a crisis at the border. But it has to wait until January 21st of 2025 if Donald Trump wins. That's when we can actually it's existential, but don't do anything for it for another year.
And we did an hour on this yesterday. We played Senator Lankford from Oklahoma calling out his own party. Saying, look, we asked for this. Now it's here.
Yeah.
That wasn't a Democrat. That was a Republican saying that.
The whole reason that this conversation is happening right now and there's trying to be compromise around it is because House Republicans said, we're not going to give aid to Israel or Ukraine unless we do something at the border. It was part of it was their own negotiating tactic that got it to where we are right now. And now they're like, never mind. We changed our mind.
And that's basically, that's a paraphrase of what Republican Senator Lankford said yesterday on Fox News. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Stephen in Green Bay. Stephen, what say you about the old Derek Van Orten and Back in the Blue?
Well, I have a couple things I want to say. The first thing I want to say is I'm glad you bring Luke on because I used to listen to his show every day, and I missed hearing Luke on the radio, so I'm glad you bring him in.
Well, I miss him too, and that's why we bring him on. I appreciate that. Thank you, Stephen. Go ahead.
With that being said, this just goes to prove that the Back the Blue movement isn't really about backing the cops at all, now, is it? It's about stoking up a certain base and getting them all angry about the so-called defund the police movement, which if you look into that, really has nothing to do with defunding the police. It really has to do with weeding out the bad cops from within the police departments.
Right.
But with that being said, the Back to Blue movement in and of itself is funny to me because I think 99.9% of Americans, if you ask them, support the police. I don't think any of us think that we could live in a safe and free society without police officers.
Yeah. No, go ahead.
What we don't want is bad cops. We don't want cops that will shoot you down just because of the color of your skin.
Right.
We don't want that. And that's really what the Fund the Police movement is, in essence. But Back the Blue, I've always thought that movement in a whole was funny because the same people that are screaming Back the Blue are the same people that are going to the Capitol pleading guilty to assaulting police officers. It's the biggest oxymoron I've ever seen in my life.
Yep, Stephen, appreciate it. Thank you so much for your comments. I do not support the defund the whole police movement either. Yes, we need police officers. I said at the top of this piece, I used to be the chairman of the Public Safety Commission, Richland Center, that oversaw the local police department. I've also called out what I view as wrongdoing or overstepping by certain individual police officers. But yeah, I mean, but I think this is really what I want to focus on is the hypocrisy of people like Derek Van Orten saying they back the police, so then they support guys like this, Luke, that clearly are attacking police.
And I get that it's a lightning rod, like the defund the police movement is a lightning rod in politics now, but if you want to unpack what it means and try, like, a lot of instances we can see now in areas like Denver and even here in Madison where the taking off all of the burden that has been put on police departments because of our local municipal governments being stripped down, not being able to provide the services,
right,
and then all of a sudden asking police officers to be social workers,
yes,
to be a mental health advocate. Like, the amount of what we were putting on our law enforcement officers was not sustainable. And so rather than trying to militarize police departments around, which we saw throughout the 2000s, like that is a large aspect of what American police forces have been. And so saying, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to over demand. And we're going to do things like here in Madison with the CARES, the Community Alternative Response to Emergencies, which is now being expanded to across Dane County and being studied by third parties to try to implement it in other ways because it has been successful in not having law enforcement, but having other first responders respond to nonviolent emergencies.
Yeah, absolutely. 844-967-2789. As Matt Flynn says, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. Tom from West Dallas, Mark from the SAC. We're going to have you on the other side, as well as more from Lukester. What's going on with the Bucks? Luke's going to explain it all to us in 2 minutes. Don't worry. He's got us. This is the Todd Oliphant Show for a Tuesday. Tangents with Luke Mathers along with Aaron Zommers. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
News.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-364-1031 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-364-1031. That's 800-364-1031. What do you have to lose? Call 800-364-1031. Again, 800-364-1031.
You're listening to News, Talk, and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Welcome back to the Tunnelball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock on Tuesday, January 30th. Zommer is on the board taking your calls. Mr. Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers for a 30th, already the end of January, yeah, Luke-ster.
It's flying by.
Flying by.
Flying by.
All right. Well, listen, it always flies by too quickly when Luke is here. I'm going to try to get these calls. I want to get Luke's take on the Bucks as well before we go anywhere. Quickly to the phone lines, Tom from West Allis. Thanks for hanging around. Tom, what say you?
Hey, good morning or afternoon.
It's all good.
I've just, what's his name out there, Van Orden? He's a military person. He is a veteran. And he backs someone who calls our military suckers and losers and says it out loud. Yep. And yet he is still backed by this clown. To me, that is an ultimate disrespect. Therefore, I don't have any respect for him. As far as like CJ and stuff talking about border and stuff, to me now the whole border is just a joke. That is once again a big dog whistle for the Republican Party. Obviously, it can't be that terrible because, well, now we're going to wait. So, right. You know, how can this be that bad? Right. So that's what I see. I think they just blew this out of proportion, and obviously now they don't want to do anything about it. So, yeah, we can wait another 6 months or 8 months, you know, or a year for something to happen. So, that's about all I can say.
Tom, really appreciate your comments, your insight, Tom from West Allis. And we talked about this again yesterday and called this out of Trump calling. There's a great ad right now for Vote Vets with all of these snippets of things he said. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden wasn't having any of it over the weekend, was going right after him.
Yeah, he was leaning into that. And there was, I think it's also important to point out that a year from now, say all the equation happens and Donald Trump's president and they have control of Congress, the Republican control of Congress, the would-be Senate majority leader in that instance,
Josh Hawley?
No, Mitch McConnell.
I don't know if he'll survive. Not his life, but I'm not sure he'll survive as leader.
But the current Senate minority leader, Mitch McConnell, saying we would not get a deal done under that circumstance. So it's not only is there... They're a very strange juxtaposition of it's an existential crisis, but it can't be solved until Donald Trump healthcare. You know, he's going to solve it. He's got a magical healthcare plan that's just
by taking away Obamacare,
president, and he will solve healthcare. And then he was president for 4 years, and his only response was, "Who knew healthcare was so complicated?" That was what former President Donald Trump's summary stance was on healthcare because he didn't get anything done. But it was infrastructure week constantly throughout the 4 years of the Trump administration. And guess what? He didn't get anything done on infrastructure.
But if you got a gallon of bleach and a light to stick up your rear end, you're fine. That's how you're going to cure. Remember, that's how he wanted to cure. COVID.
But it's just baffling to me.
Let's go quickly to Mark in the sack. Mark, thanks for hanging around. Mark, what say you?
Yeah, thanks, guys. And you pointed out the reason CJ is banned from certain programs is because he violated FCC rules, and that's why he's been.
I don't want to call people on too much by name, Mark. I mean, other shows can do other things, and yes, we can't have people breaking FCC laws. But look, I take all callers. I try to get different viewpoints, but yes, I mean, I get the point. Go ahead, Mark.
And the point I was making is it's not because of his viewpoint. It's just because of that. And CJ should remember is Republicans now are dragging their feet on getting some kind of deal done for the border. If it's that important, we need to get it done now. And for all these guys that they think that, you know, Babbitt is doing the right thing, laying out a concertina wire and putting the border down like it was done when the old iron curtain dropped and keeping people inside the Soviet Union, that rather than keeping people out, it is just kind of sad. But it is just these are human beings trying to get here. We have to have some kind of humane immigration policy in this country. And the way we solve that is we have to commit resources to it to solve that problem, because I don't imagine any of these employers down there that are hiring people that are here undocumented are complaining about the fact that they got these workers working for them and that they're perfectly willing to have them work for them, but they don't want to admit they're actually violating the law by hiring those folks.
Thanks a lot, Mark. Really appreciate the call. I want to round out this part by words from one of our regular listeners, Jack from Merrimack, who wrote this on the text line. Says, quote, "That Van Orden is a hypocrite isn't a surprise. This is the guy who disrespectfully, obscenely cursed some Capitol pages for disrespectfully lying on the floor to look at and take pictures of the magnificent dome. I think appreciating that dome in awe of its beauty is very respectful. And let's not even go into Van Orden's lies about supposed dead there," unquote, Jack from Merrimack. It's going to be an interesting race. Luke, thankful that we have the Civic Media Radio Network across the 3rd District to keep people honest and to bring some of these factoids.
Yeah, talking to voters across the state of Wisconsin here at Civic Media, and the 3rd District's well-represented with station coverage, but it's going to be a long, like, yes, it's already the end of January, but it's going to be a long 2024.
So. All right, we left you all of 2 minutes to talk about the Bucks' busy day and news-wise, I guess.
Yeah.
Give us your thoughts. Doc Rivers picking up an L in the first try. Should we be concerned, or is it just shaking off the rust?
I don't think it's good to judge at this point Doc's performance this quickly in, like, his first game at the helm. It was a great start. Like, the game started off and then they were leading by a double digit lead within the first quarter.
Here's a more fair question. Were you surprised by the coaching change at this point? You know, I don't think they should have got rid of Coach Bud. Let's see.
I agree. I think this all stems from a very, very quick reaction to a tough loss. Like, it's a tough loss to swallow, being a 1 seed losing to an 8 seed in the playoffs last year. And so I, at the time, thought it was a little rush to fire Bud. I think Griff's a great guy. I think Adrian Griffin's going to have a future as a head coach in the association. But the Bucks have a very short window right now to win. And from what they saw through the first better part of the first half of the season, they didn't think that Griffin was going to be the guy that could get it done.
Do you think Giannis had anything to do with it?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't think that's the instance. I think it seems like Adrian Griffin may have lost the locker room, but I don't think that was all Giannis. I think that was the troubles that they were having on defense.
It seems like he just lost the locker room. It seems like
I don't think one thing in particular caused that.
Yeah, I don't think the team had much respect. I don't want to say any, but the respect seemed to be pretty low. They seemed to be much more jacked up and energized since they got rid of him.
To expect a first-time head coach to lead as veteran of a locker room that the Milwaukee Bucks have was a tall task. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see how these next couple of weeks develop between now and the All-Star break coming up. And then when the team gets back together after that break, how they can push forward to hopefully a very, very long playoff run.
You can hear the Bucks on select stations across Civic Media. Hopefully one of yours is selected. You can hear the Wisconsin Badgers. They're up to number 6 in the AP poll on the Civic Media app on select stations as well. You can always hear Luke Mathers right here on Tuesdays. Thanks, Lukester.
Thanks, Todd.
Back with Hour 2. Don't go anywhere.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. Yeah! And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Nightline with Pete Schwabach.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the High School Musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabach. Weeknights from 8 till 10 on AM 1400 and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief.